Welcome to the Physics Audio Tutorial Series by Rapid Learning Center. In this audio tutorial, we will discuss force and motion, Newton's laws. This core tutorial will describe Newton's laws and other associated ideas. By completing this course, you will understand Newton's three laws of motion, explain the role of forces, like friction and air resistance, and apply these laws to dynamics problems. The concept map of Newton's laws and forces could be shown here. You will notice that motion is caused by forces. Many different forces may add to yield a net force. One example of a force, friction, slows motion, and that friction may be either static or kinetic. In another example of motion, constant velocity, that's described by motion that does not change. Newton's laws. These three basic laws formulated by Isaac Newton describe the forces acting on objects. Newton's first law. Every object continues in its state of rest, or uniform motion in a straight line, unless it is acted upon by an outside force. Consider a hockey puck moving along the ice until it hits something. Inertia. This tendency to continue in a given state, Newton's first law, is called inertia. The more mass an object has, the more inertia it has. For example, an elephant has a large amount of inertia because it has a large mass. A mouse, on the other hand, has a small amount of inertia because it has a small mass. Mass versus weight. The two are not exactly the same thing. Mass is the amount of matter in an object. Typical units would be kilograms or grams. Weight, on the other hand, is the force upon an object due to gravity. Typical metric unit would be newtons. Don't confuse mass and weight. They might be similar, but they're not exactly the same. Mass question. If you travel deep into space, far away from other bodies, does your mass change? No. Your location doesn't change the amount of matter present in your body. Even if you're still floating in space, you still possess the same number of atoms and molecules in your body. Weight question. If you travel deep into space once again, does your weight change? Yes. In space, there may be less gravitational pull on you, depending on what massive bodies you are near. Thus, your weight, a force, will be less. Force units. Some are familiar with the English unit for force, the pound. However, the typical metric unit of force is the newton, abbreviated capital N. 1 newton is equivalent to 1 kilogram meter per second squared. On Earth, a kilogram of mass would weigh 9.8 newtons. Newton's second law. This is a relatively simple formula. F net equals M times A. F net stands for the net force, which will be described later. M is the mass, and A the acceleration. In words, this means the acceleration of an object is directly proportional to the net force and inversely proportional to the mass. It may also be seen in textbooks as F net equals the sum of forces. This indicates that the net force is the sum of all the forces acting on an object. The net force. The net force is simply the resultant of all the forces acting on an object. Imagine if you were to add together a vector A, B, C, D, and E. The resultant of all of those vectors would be your net force. it can be considered the leftover, or sum, of all the forces. Paycheck analogy. You may work 10 hours at $10 per hour, but your pay at the end of the period is definitely not $100. After all taxes and deductions are accounted for, what you actually get is your net pay. This is similar to the net force, what's left over. Newton's second law observations. Some of this may seem like common sense, but take note, a larger mass is more difficult to accelerate than a smaller one. Also, a larger force accelerates a mass more than a smaller one. These are the common sense conclusions of Newton's second law, F net equals ma. Second law example. If a 10-kilogram block rests on a frictionless surface, like ice, how much will it accelerate if a 50-newton force is applied to it? Well, use Newton's second law, F net equals ma. In this case, we're not looking for the net force, we're looking for the acceleration, which if we rearrange, is F net divided by m. The net force is given, the mass is given, substitute your values, and you'll have an acceleration of 5 meters per second squared. Newton's third law. For every force, there is an equal and opposite force. Or, you may have heard, for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. Imagine these forces or actions as vectors or arrows that point in opposite directions. Newton's third law example. Imagine a rocket blasting off from the Earth. The exhaust gases from a rocket are forcefully pushed downward out the rear of the nozzle. An equal and opposite force is exerted upwards on the rocket itself. This is the force that propels the rocket, while our initial force propels the gas exhaust downward. The normal force. Imagine yourself sitting in a chair, doing nothing, simply sitting there. The chair supports or pushes up on you, otherwise you'd be falling to the ground. This reaction force is called the normal force. Your weight due to gravity pulls you down. In this case, because you're going nowhere, these are equal and opposite. The normal force direction. This normal force is always perpendicular to the surface. If the surface is horizontal or flat, it's equal in magnitude to the weight of the object. Thus, an object's weight has the same size or value as the normal force. However, the object's weight points down, and for this instance, the normal force points upward. Normal force on an incline. If there is an incline, a hill, the normal force is still perpendicular to the surface, but in this case, it isn't equal in magnitude to the weight. The weight would be pulling straight down, and the normal force is pushing off at an angle. Friction. Since it tries to slow all motion, one of the most important forces to study is friction. Direction of friction. As previously mentioned, friction is a force that always opposes motion. Thus, if your car is rolling along to the left, friction or air resistance of some sort is pushing to the right. Air drag or air resistance are examples of friction between the object and the air. A plane traveling to the left experiences air drag pushing to the right. Types of friction. There are two types of friction: static, which is stationary, and kinetic, which is moving. Static friction keeps a person from sliding off their chair. This is the frictional force between objects that aren't moving. While kinetic friction slows down a baseball player as he slides into home plate. This is the frictional force between objects that are moving. Simple friction example. Imagine a man is pushing a 20-kilogram sled along a floor or surface at a constant velocity by applying a force of 40 newtons. First, what's the weight of the sled? Well, as we learned before, F net equals ma. In our case, the weight of the object would be equal to the mass times the acceleration of the object. For this example, the acceleration of object in the vertical direction can be considered 9.8 meters per second squared. So the weight of the object is 20 times 9.8, or 196 newtons. Here we consider the pull from gravity, not the horizontal motion due to the man's push. That will be used later. Frictional force on the sled. What is the force from friction on the sled? Since it has a constant velocity, F net has to be zero. The friction force must also be 40. The applied force of 40, let's say to the left, must be equal in size to the frictional force, which must be 40, in the opposite direction to the right. Thus, the net force on the sled would be 0 newtons, and it's in dynamic equilibrium. Coefficient of friction. There is a way to mathematically describe the amount of friction between any two given surfaces. Mu equals FF divided by Fn. Mu is a funny-looking U symbol, which is actually the coefficient of friction, which is represented by the Greek letter mu. FF is the force from friction, in newtons, and Fn is the normal force, also in newtons. Note that since mu is a ratio of two forces, it has no units. Newtons and newtons would cancel out. Static and kinetic friction. Because the amount of friction depends on whether the object is moving or still, there are two possible mu values, mu sub s, which is the static coefficient of friction, and mu sub k, which is the kinetic coefficient of friction. The one you use depends on the situation. Of course, if it's a situation where the objects are sliding above or near each other, kinetic coefficient of friction. Kinetic friction example. Previously, the man pushes a sled 20 kilograms at a constant velocity with a force of 40 newtons. What is the coefficient of kinetic friction, mu k, in this example? Well, our previous formula, mu k equals ff divided by fn. We've got a frictional force, 40 newtons. We can find our normal force. That would be equal in size to the weight. Although it's a different direction, it's got the same magnitude. So, we've got 40 newtons divided by 196 newtons gives us an answer of 0.2, no units. So our coefficient of kinetic friction for this example is simply 0.2. Dynamics problems. The study of forces acting on an object is called dynamics. These forces produce motion, as we have already seen. Inclined plane example. Imagine a plane, an inclined plane, at 30 degrees above the horizontal. On it, a 3-kilogram object sits. Of course, it's going to slide down the hill. Calculate the acceleration of this block sliding down this frictionless incline. Although we just got done discussing friction, in this example, we are going to ignore any friction. The weight of the object still points directly down. We could use F net equals ma, which is sometimes written as W equals mg. 3 times 9.8 gives us a weight of 29.4 newtons down. Component vectors on an inclined plane. Imagine this weight vector pulling directly down. This could be broken into components. These two component vectors, when added tip to tail, give the weight as a resultant. These components would be pointing 1, perpendicular to the surface, and parallel to the surface. These parallel, perpendicular, and weight vectors would, put together, give you a right triangle. perpendicular force component. This perpendicular or F-perpendicular component is the part of weight that is perpendicular to the inclined surface. This component is responsible for pushing the object into the surface. The reaction force to this one is the normal force, which we discussed earlier. Because this is an inclined plane, in this example, the normal force is not equal to the weight. Parallel force component. F parallel is the component of the weight that pushes parallel to the surface. This is the component that's responsible for pushing the object along the incline. This is what makes the thing move down the hill. Right triangles. F parallel and F perpendicular can be found relatively easily using simple trigonometry, sine, cosine, and tangent functions. The triangle they form is a right triangle, the weight being the hypotenuse. Similar triangles. The angle at the top of our right triangle is the same as the angle of the incline. In our case, a 30-degree incline means the angle at the top of our triangle is 30 degrees. The two form similar triangles. This concept can be used for any inclined plane. Since we know the top angle is 30 degrees, there's a right angle 90 degrees, the remaining angle can also be found 60 degrees. Calculation of parallel force. If we know our weight, or the hypotenuse, and we've got an angle, we could easily find the parallel force, F parallel. Because that's the opposite side, we would use the sine function. Sine of theta equals opposite over hypotenuse. In our example, we could use a weight of 29.4 newtons, an angle of 30 degrees, and find our parallel force of 14.7 newtons. Calculation of acceleration. Finally, since we have the force that's pushing the object down the incline, we can use F net equals ma to get that acceleration. F parallel is the net force, and that's equal to m times a. So our 14.7 newtons is equal to our mass of 3 kilograms times our acceleration, which is unknown. We solve for our unknown acceleration and get a value of about 4.9 meters per second squared. Note this value is of course less than the 9.8 meters per second squared if something was free falling. That should make sense because things will slide down a hill slower than they would simply fall. The test strategies. How are the concepts introduced in this tutorial assessed on the test? Sample mini passage. A student completes an experiment involving forces and friction. A 1 kilogram block is resting on a horizontal lab table. There is a noticeable amount of friction present. The student pulls horizontally and gradually with more and more force on the block that is attached to a string of negligible mass. Force is applied until the block begins to move at a constant rate. The force applied is charted as a function of time. Using the Schur method, skim the passage quickly, or listen, and try to visualize the experiment that is being conducted. Mini passage continued. The experimental results could be shown on a graph. In this graph of force versus time, a diagonal line goes upwards. Then it falls sharply downwards to continue as a horizontal line. Each block on the graph indicates 1 newton of force in 1 second of time. Consider the experiment and graph when answering the following questions. Using the Schur method, understand the key points. Here you must consider the role of static and kinetic friction. Both play a role here. First passage question. What is the coefficient of static friction in the experiment? Read the question carefully and identify the concept to be used. Consider the formula for calculating the coefficient of static friction. You must understand what role the normal force plays here. Use the formula mu s equals the force from friction divided by the normal force. This will give us the coefficient of static friction. In this case, the frictional force would be the same as the applied force. The normal force would be the same as the weight of the object. These values can be obtained from the information given, and/or the graph. The 1 kilogram block has a weight of 10 newtons, and the amount of frictional force, or applied force, would be obtained from the very peak or top of the graph, which would be 7 newtons. 7 newtons divided by 10 gives us a coefficient of friction, static friction, of 0.7. Second passage question. What is the coefficient of kinetic friction in the experiment? Once again, read the question carefully and identify the key concept to be used. Once again, look at the graph and identify where the mass is moving. This would be the horizontal section of the graph. Things are basically the same here, except here the frictional force will be the same as the applied force on the horizontal section. This can be read off the graph as 3 newtons. The weight of the object stays 10 newtons. So this time, our coefficient of kinetic friction ends up to be 3 newtons divided by 10 newtons, or 0.3. Notice the coefficient of kinetic friction is less than static friction. Third passage question. During the horizontal section of the graph, what is the acceleration of the mass? A, 9.8 meters per second squared. B, 0.5 meters per second squared. C, 0 meters per second squared. Or D, there is not enough information to determine. Here, after examining, the best answer is C. For the horizontal section of the graph, the mass has begun moving and a constant force is still continually applied. Since there is friction in this example, the applied force and the frictional force must balance out to give you a net force of 0. A net force of 0 means 0 acceleration too. Tutorial summary. Inertia, Newton's first law, is the property of matter that resists changes in its motion. Newton's second law, F equals ma, consider all the forces acting on an object. Newton's third law, for every force, there is an equal and opposite reaction force. Next, friction, a force that opposes motion. To calculate it, or the coefficient of friction, we can use mu equals the force from friction divided by the normal force. And finally, in either static or dynamic equilibrium, the net force equals 0. Congratulations on completing the Force and Motion Core Physics tutorial. These laws form the foundation of mechanics. Now you have a better understanding of that foundation. For more audio and visual tutorials in chemistry, biology, physics, and math, go to www.rapidlearningcenter.com. Thank you.